Welcome to the Humanist Union meeting for December. We have an open discussion today. Holiday wish list, but not the usual meaning of that. What we're proposing to talk about is how we would like to change the holidays that affect us most. Obviously, most of us are affected by Christmas holidays.
My first comment is protect us against Muzak in the stores. I get so utterly sick and tired of hearing Christmas songs over and over.
You don't have to go to those stores.
You're right.
You gotta go grocery shopping.
What?
You gotta go grocery shopping.
Yes, that's right.
What about when they start? Are they starting earlier?
Oh, well, and the Salvation Army ringing the bells and singing as you enter the store.
I have mixed feelings about Salvation Army. There's an interesting piece in, help me, Rosa, with me, it's the Unitarian minister, the books I'm reading. The Unitarian minister,
Robert Fogel.
Robert Fogel.
Okay.
Books. Anyway, in one of his books, he has a chapter on his experience with it's a little bit in depth. It's really quite interesting.
His experience with what?
With
Salvation Army.
He's reading. That's the one he's reading.
But I don't know the source of where I've read it, but I have read that, which has made me feel a little more comfortable and tolerant with the Salvation Army, and I always put something in the bucket when I go by, is the major income. They make a vast majority of the money that they need and use to function in helping people, they make at Christmas time. And that even though it can be, you think they're there and the bell ring, or does that really matter? I can't remember what the quantity of money was, but it was astounding how much money they make nationwide during that Christmas holiday. It's something like 60-75% of their budget. It's very, after I read that, now I don't mind the bell so much anymore.
They used to hire people.
Mm-hmm. They still do.
Talks do about it. When he was a boy, he was hired. His father was a minister, and he was a fundamentalist minister. Fulgham ended up as a Unitarian minister. But he describes his experiences when he was, his father had him go out there and ring the bell and call out to various things, you know, to get people to put money in. And then he talks about the huge changes in the next 30 years, I think.
And how much of that money went for bubble gum?
Changes in.
Well, I wouldn't mind donating to the Salvation Army if they didn't mix helping with you know, having to listen to all the religious stuff they dole out with the food. So I just sail right past them.
Fulham had thought that it was a good organization to support, even though he is a Unitarian, as I recall. I can get that article again and read it. It's one of the chapters in one of his books.
So that would be on my holiday wish list, some clarity about how effective charitable organizations are, who you can donate to and feel good about.
Aren't there places one can go to?
I hear about them.
Analyze the percentage of their revenue that's spent on their programs as opposed to
and how effective their programs are.
Yeah.
We get a lot of volunteers, but they do pay a lot of people to
purchase things.
They have a large base staff.
I was just asking, I was wondering how much of that's in Green Pages. Information on agencies, Green Pages talks about the agencies to purchase.
Green America, called Green America. And every organization in that book has to pass a certain litmus test to being socially responsible. So
that includes not spending any more than a certain amount on overhead.
Well, I don't know. The organizations are. I don't know. To answer your question, I don't know, Galen, if that's part of their litmus test or not.
No. Yeah, I worry about that. All organizations that are raising money for some good cause.
Chris, now that the political season is over and we're not getting quite so many requests for political donations, now it's end of the year contributions to all the good causes you've been supporting. And I'm getting so tired of writing checks.
Well, they hope that they're gonna hit pay dirt and they're gonna find somebody who's gonna put something in their will.
Well, they also have
a big chunk
matching grants. You know, you give so much and it'll be doubled.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have something?
Well, there are several thoughts running around. One is, I'm a member of the. I wish the Christmas music would go away most of the time, and especially I find Presbyterian Universalist Society's emphasis upon singing Christmas hymns and teaching our kids about deism and theism without explaining why we're doing it sometimes bothers me, and I would just as soon pray stay away from it. But I think that it's an important time to put in context those places that we can send our money, send our energies to organizations, and it is a time when it's a good idea to make contributions and pick and choose carefully.
There are an awful lot of homeless. There was an article in the papers a couple of days ago about a new facility that's just being built for homeless, mostly homeless people. There's only 14 units in that.
14 regular single-use apartments, and then there's 34 efficiency units.
Okay.
That's just a drop in the bucket, isn't it?
But the number of homeless is much, much higher than that. How many more are there out there? We really have...
Two.
Well, what this...
The numbers, I don't know. 3,000 or something.
But I think one of the purposes of this housing is to reduce some of the one night stands, particularly the single men who end up in the getting into the all night 60 men in the room having breakfast. They were hoping to transition somewhat from that men's shelter breakfast to trying to provide some kind of more long-term permanent housing for people who have been going to these. There are people who have been basically living in these shelters for years. The same people come back every night, day after day, after month, after year, which is certainly not helping them progress anywhere. So I think that this setting up this house, which is the same group who run the men's shelter breakfast, were behind getting this building.
Porchlight.
Yeah. And that's what Porchlight was hoping, was to have a little bit closer semblance to, you know, for these folks to have a more regular, normal life in a place that they actually lived. So I think it is small, it's not a lot of people, but it's probably taking if they fill those rooms, it's probably quite a big core group of the long-term homeless people who live in the shelter.
Most of those rooms are single-person occupancy, right?
Right. And to be at the men's shelter, they're all single. Well, the men who are living there singly, they may not be single. But
what about families?
Families go through IHN, which is another the Interfaith Hospitality Network has the shelter, the
it's called the Road
Home. Yeah, Road Home, and they have multiple churches in the Madison area where the families live a week at a time. Our sister church is the Midvale Lutheran, and they're there for 1 week, and then they move to another place for a week, and then another place for a week, and that's women or men who have children. So there's families.
Some of us heard this morning about the Chalica holiday celebration, which brings in service and contacting your government and things like that, because it's related to UU principles. So that is a way of connecting a holiday celebration with some of these needs that we see, especially at this time of year.
I enjoyed the fact that the political aspect of it comes up on Friday, and Fridays are the days that the Solidarity sing-along sing outside the Capitol with instruments. So that meshes nicely in my mind.
For me, I've been struggling with this issue a little bit. I said, it's a Christian holiday, so why not all hoopla? You know, why not? I mean, if you're a Christian and you want to celebrate, I think for me, the scourging parties, there are other religious holidays during this time of year, and they don't get any play, publicly.
That's me.
Randy,
I heard, last year I heard one Hanukkah song.
Well, okay. Well, yeah,
God knows how many Christian
that's my lament. Not that it's a Christian holiday and it's why they're celebrated, but you don't hear about the Jewish tradition or the Arabic tradition, the Muslim tradition in this during December too. And
Or are they atheists? The bloody solstice should be highlighted too.
But that gets back to marketing. There are a lot more Christians out there, self-identified Christians out there, and that's who's being catered to.
How do you know you wouldn't enjoy a Hanukkah song if you don't hear it at all?
I can assure you that in many stores, especially most of the stores in certain neighborhoods in New York City, you would be hard-pressed to hear a Christmas carol. But you would not be able to escape marketing.
That's the bottom line.
I saw a website this morning that has a little blog item urging that we stop the war on Saturnalia. Get Saturn back in the holiday.
Take back Saturnalia?
Yeah.
There's a bumper sticker.
Well, I think, as Ken said, I think because there's such a stronger commercial link to the Christian holiday, that's the one the emphasis is being placed, where the others are more personal.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just sort of like, oh, for God's sakes, can I hear her Hanukkah song or
Solstice song?
No, I agree, but I think if those other holidays, you know, brought as much money to commercial establishments, we'd hear more of their music.
Yeah,
well, it is.
By the end of December, I'm kind of like wanting to throw things at radio. It's just so I can hear something different.
Yeah. When I think about Christmas, it's hard to escape the materialism that surrounds it in our
country. I want to get back briefly to music. Because one of my peeves is going to a concert here in Madison, sort of the concert of the season, to listen to massed chorals, massed choral groups from various organizations in Madison, all singing, and every single one of the pieces they sang was strictly liturgical Christian music. Nothing but the whole concert. And
held
so
in.
I think, I mean that.
Are you talking about ones held in churches or held in public places?
Either.
The concert we went to was in a church, but also what this was not a church group. It was a group of general singers. You know.
But if you go to an event at Christmas time in a church, you can expect Christian music.
You think so?
Well, I think it's the same thing. Easter.
That bothers me. Oh, you remember you were there, Barbara.
Christmas gives classical music stations an opportunity or an incentive to play Baroque music more often than they do the rest of the year.
Well,
that's very nice.
Yeah,
yes.
PBS does a pretty good job. Yeah. Thank God for them.
So to speak.
Would that be the Christian guy?
I think that was tongue in cheek over here.
Your choice.
And the public radio was the one place I did hear the Hanukkah song too.
What is the Hanukkah song?
Yes.
I don't know the
Hanukkah song. Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. Well, I mean, it wasn't that song. Some reggae person did a song, Hanukkah song for Hanukkah. Basically, because he has the same opinion of mine. There's no popular music out there for any religion except Christians, so he decided to go and do a reggae song.
More popular music for other religions.
Another holiday celebration this time of the year is Human Light, and we'll be having that here at Prairie this year on the 23rd.
Oh, really?
We'll have music as part of that. In fact, I've got the Human Light songbooks along that you can look at. We're open to suggestions of new songs to add. Some of them use old Christmas carol songs with new words, that sort of thing. And some of them are original tunes. But music is important to us as humanists as well as to religious groups.
That'll be in the evening?
Yes, 5 to 9 on the 23rd. That's a Sunday.
But, you know, I think for many people, hearing, because that was how they grew up, is that, you know, it's winter, if it's snowing, and you're walking through the stores, and you're shopping, and Christmas music's playing, it's part of the whole ambience that many people really want, and it's linked strongly to their childhood. It's like macaroni and cheese, or apple pie. It's something that is a traditional part of some people's lives, and they enjoy it immensely, whether they're religious or not. They don't have to be a religious person or Christian person to
enjoy childhood security.
Right, you know, the whole thing, the tree and the lights and the snow and the music, and I think that for many people it isn't, they aren't listening to it.
We're not going to get rid of that.
No, and they aren't necessarily listening to it for the religious impact. They're listening to it because it's...
I don't know. My pet peeve is the made-up Christmas songs.
Yes,
there aren't the ones that I learned when I was a child. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and All I Want for Christmas.
There are secular songs this time of year related to Christmas but not Christian. I think it's good to have those in the mix.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it is good. It doesn't give me that feeling of security to get these.
You know, China likes Christmas. China's enthusiastic about Christmas. I don't know if they have a clue about the religious part, but I know when we were in the malls and whatnot, there were reindeer and there were Christmas trees and there were Santa stickers on the windows and the restaurants and things like that.
You were in China.
So what part of China were you in?
We were in Shijiazhuang. And then later we were in other parts of China a little bit, but we were in Shijiazhuang for 5 months, like.
Wow. What were you doing?
I've been in Beijing a little bit.
A coastal area, or?
No, Shijiazhuang is a, it's not a very interesting city. It's the provincial capital of Hebei Province, which is the province that Beijing is in, but Beijing is kind of its own thing. So.
May we ask what you were doing there?
Oh, my husband teaches physics at UW Whitewater. It was his sabbatical, and he was teaching physics in China.
Whitewater, eh? Galen taught there.
I taught in an exchange also in England, because I can't deal with any foreign languages. I look for something.
Chinese is hard.
Someplace
I try.
Speak English.
I can imagine why the Chinese would celebrate Christmas, considering how many made-in-China products we have on the
23rd.
Yeah,
big sales.
Well, that's an interesting observation you have from inland regions.
Yeah.
They celebrate Christmas in Japan too.
Mm-hmm.
Many Christians in Japan. Yeah, so.
Well, I think 90% of Christmas is the basically the solstice holiday anyway.
Mm-hmm. I think we could probably all vote one song to get rid of this Alvin and the Chipmunks Christmas.
Oh.
I will admit that that doesn't.
Or just restricted to, you know,
it's new
lower
to this generation
of
children.
That's right.
So your comments about China and the Christian motifs that they use.
I didn't see baby Jesus. I saw reindeer.
Okay.
Yeah, I think in Santa Claus. I think
Santa
it was.
Claus.
I think they were attempting to adopt the commercial holiday.
Commercial elements.
Yes.
Of the
yeah. Yeah.
One of the more bizarre things that I saw a few years ago was a little, it wasn't like a humble figure, but it was a little ceramic figure of Santa Claus praying in front of Jesus's, the baby Jesus' crash.
Wasn't he there?
Historically not. He was a bishop someplace else several centuries later. But I think that would probably have been sold to the people who believe that humans rode dinosaurs. The anachronism wouldn't have caught their attention.
We have a book that his father traditionally read when they were kids, and it's called The Baby Jesus, and it's a story how Jesus and Santa Claus came together, how Jesus called upon Santa Claus. It's a delightful book. It's all written in
Aramaic?
Early form of Black Ebonics in the South.
Oh, really?
So it's impossible. I've taken over the tradition.
He reads it every Christmas.
It's almost impossible to read. It's fun to read, but it's really a lot of work.
That baby Jesus. But it's very fascinating. It explains how the whole thing happened, and it's at the time of Jesus being born, and Santa Claus was involved with going to see the baby Jesus. But I don't know how old the book was before his dad was reading it, but we've had it in the family for 30 years, so. But it does explain how Santa Claus came to be linked to Christmas.
My family, when we were growing up, we had an Advent calendar, and it showed a map of the Holy Land, and every time you opened a window, there was a picture that went with the Bible story so that they followed the Bible story from Genesis through the birth of Jesus. Mm. And, you know, I liked that in a way because I did kind of learn the story and I knew what the story was. The trouble was, you know, the story didn't really match reality very well. So I've, for a long time, wanted there to be an Advent calendar that somehow did that but visited places in human history. It'll only be hard to pick out, you know, just like 24 or 25 places in human history to visit. Yeah. My kids get an Advent calendar from their aunt and uncle. It's a Lego. They just opened them. It's a Lego Star Wars Advent calendar, and every time you open a door, you get another Lego piece to put together. That's the material side of Christmas. So I wish there was something that had meaning, but wasn't a religious meaning. Was a meaning about people.
Well, I think that's what the idea is, to put some other meaning into the Advent season, but in the Unitarian tradition. Start a new tradition.
Would it be okay to have a whole bunch of different religions included in that sort of thing?
That would be interesting.
You know, so.
Yeah, that would be a good project for the Religious Education Department to make some Advent calendars.
So they have different timelines.
Think of the different ideas to put in.
So that would.
And then on Christmas Eve would be a commemoration of the merger of the Unitarians and the Universalists. You show the evolution of human history leading up to this important event.
Climactic event.
But I note that you made reference to, you know, historical events, mm-hmm. and an eye opener to me within as an observer of religion was that I had a friend who was Wiccan,
mm-hmm.
and the Wiccans when they have their celebrations, they're celebrating now. This solstice, this moon. And it caused me to reflect how many religious holidays, at least among the Abrahamic religions, are commemorations of some historic event, the Hajj, or the miracle in the temple with the oil lamps, or the birth of Jesus. And if you go through, you take a really good course in Western art, there are all these events, beginning with the Annunciation, the Nativity, you know, so on and so forth, and they're all either historical or imputedly historical events. They're all backward looking, rather than concentrating on the here and now or the future. And so I look at the solstice as not backward not having a historical focus necessarily, which I think is a significant difference, but one that I think sometimes isn't we don't focus on.
Have you ever been to a winter solstice celebration of any sort?
I have not. I've been to some two or three occasions. I've been to a Wiccan related ceremony of the come visit us variety
here in Wisconsin.
I have been in Wisconsin. And there's a great deal of theism, polytheism, and the supernatural that's involved. But this aspect of it, the we're focusing on now, I thought was interesting and in contrast to most religious tradition that we're ordinarily familiar with.
Is anybody affected by other holidays this time of year? Does anybody have friends who celebrate Hanukkah, for example?
Yes.
You do.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
We have a Jewish daughter, and we have been there Christmas time. They do have the Hanukkah candles, but it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. It isn't. It isn't a big deal. It's just one of the many. They have so many things, the whole cycle of the Jewish year.
They have a Christmas tree as well as Hanukkah.
No. My daughter is very observant. They're very Hasidic. But no, other Jewish families, of course, take everything.
Do they put up lights other than that to decorate or anything?
Their weeks go by with the cycle, with the Sabbath is important every week, and Hanukkah just comes on. And then we have another daughter who's Eastern Orthodox, and they do all their Christmas celebrating on the Julian calendar. About the 6th of January is Christmas time. Yeah. But they find it very practical because they can buy a Christmas tree right off the lot on Christmas Day and our Christmas Day.
At a reduced price.
Very reduced price.
Depending on the coordination between lunar and solar calendars, my Greek Orthodox friends like the same concept. If Orthodox Christmas falls a week later.
It's always going to be 12 days later, because at least until there's another day lost on the Julian calendar.
Ah.
Because the Gregorian calendar succeeds in advancing as the peculiarities mm-hmm. of the...
No further correction required until 3200.
Yeah,
I'll cross worrying about that off my computer.
I was reading yesterday about how some computers were messed up because of a leap second that had to be incorporated.
Yeah. Kirsten is a wonderful song about the 9 days of Christmas. Which
the 12 days
of Christmas, which I really enjoy, because it's I don't think there's any mention of any Christian religious subject at all, is there? Well,
you know, it is.
I think the Lord's a leaping may or soon to be Christian.
and this three gold rings,
gold rings. Well, what does that have to do with Christmas?
For the four apostles,
that's right. I forgot about that.
A lot of that's imputed, though. I mean, there was a country western song about how the singer's Bible was his deck of cards, because all the numerical combinations could be, there are 12 of this and 4 of that, 52 of the other, and that sort of thing.
Interesting.
Well, mercifully, a 52 deck of cards can accommodate a great deal of Christianity. The Buddhists have so many numerical lists that go so high, that wouldn't have been possible for them.
One of my peeves about Christmas, which I'm never going to do anything about, is everybody says, well, have you gotten your Christmas shopping done yet? And sometimes I just say, no, I don't shop at Christmas. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I think, why should I close in on their happy feelings, But I can I give people things when I feel like giving them things.
I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Except I have children, so that's they still want things on Christmas.
There was some program I was sort of half listening to on PBS, and they were talking about, apparently every year they do, they're talking about the fiscal status, and they take the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, and estimate how much it costs. Each one of those things would cost present money. They just do it from year to year, you know, like.
It's gotten inflated quite a bit.
Yeah, so I mean, it's some huge amount of money, but they're talking about, they do it for each year, kind of a gross national product for the things within the 12 Days of Christmas. It was quite clever. I had never heard it before, but apparently they do it every year. And it was, I don't remember what the amount was, but I would think Maiden's a Leaping and a few other things might be kind of hard to figure out what it costs.
Howard's a Leaping.
Lord.
On Howard, Lord's costing.
Maiden's a Milking.
Yeah. Maiden's a Milking.
How much do you pay for a Lord these days?
I don't know.
You would find out what his speaking fee is.
Well, everybody's got their amusing things. One of my favorite amusing one is that they often on television play The Wizard of Oz on the Christmas season, and at least a
so
portion of that revenue goes into the Yip Harburg Foundation, because Yip Harburg wrote it, and the Yip Harburg Foundation is dedicated to giving grants to people who want to help labor and stuff like that. So all these people who are that sort of people are going around getting money to labor organizers.
Well, that's interesting.
That amuses me no end there.
Does anyone know of anyone who actually celebrates Kwanzaa?
I have a friend who's married to a West African, and I think they've had a go at it once or twice, for their daughter's sake. I don't know if they still do.
Kwanzaa is clearly a made-up holiday, right? And
not
within
all
my lifetime,
yeah.
Right.
More recently made up. Yeah.
But, 20 years is enough to make it a real tradition in some places. Yeah. I don't know anybody who...
I lived in Chicago a very long time ago, and there were some families there that celebrated Kwanzaa. I remember that.
We
were
here a few years ago, didn't we? We had a speaker in our
church. We have some family friends that celebrate Kwanzaa.
Well, Christmas isn't so much made up as it is appropriate from pagan celebration of the sun coming back.
Uh-huh.
And the reason it's several days after the solstice is, without modern instruments, you couldn't be sure until several days later.
What about the Southern Hemisphere?
Hmm?
In the Southern Hemisphere, everything is completely reversed, right? The timing.
Yeah.
Not completely reversed. I had a Australian friend who was marrying an American.
I'm not saying how they celebrated.
I understand. But he was the groom's father was trying to convince people that the oddest thing about being in the Northern Hemisphere is having the sun come up in the east. And some people bought that argument, which was the amazing part.
We had some of the same experience going to New Zealand. We understood, of course, the sun was going to be in the north, not
right.
The south. But then we wondered, well, now, is it really going to come up in the east, just for a moment?
Well, it's a little bit confusing having the noonday sun shining from the north, and that really happens.
Yeah.
The moon.
And I did some interesting research down there. I obtained solid evidence that Christmas takes a bum rap for people gaining weight in the winter. Because...
All right, go ahead.
Well, I think you got the message already. Because Christmas comes in the summer. And they can't use it to blame for gaining weight in the winter.
Well, we're talking about the moon. Oh, you get anywhere near the poles, north or south, then the position of the moon in the sky in any part of the season is really confusing. Rose and I lived 2.5 years in Fairbanks, 100 miles south of the Arctic Circle, essentially on the Arctic Circle. And I never could figure out where the moon was appearing. Just had, I'm not very good at astronomy. I never asked an astronomer. I sort of tried to figure it out myself, but it was just weird. I never knew where it was going to come up, go down.
And Orion's upside down in the southern hemisphere.
But you can see it.
You can see it, but it's upside down. Yeah. It's south of the celestial equator, so it's a major constellation.
Oh, it's upside down in the northern hemisphere, and they see it the right side up.
I was thinking about also about all of the huge numbers of cultures around the world. I don't know, the anthropologists have counted them, thousands and thousands of different, very, very different cultures. And of course, they're being homogenized now rapidly. But there are still a lot of them that have maintained their integrity, more or less. And they'll have totally different traditions and religions and everything. Of course, in Africa, the most common religions, I think, are still are Christianity and Islam. There is a wide variety of different religions originally, but not very many are practiced.
What do people feel about in our pluralistic society? Calling the tree in the Capitol a Christmas tree again.
Is that what we need? Did Blocker change that or something?
The current government wants it.
Yeah, well, but the Christmas tree is left over from the pagan part of Christmas, so it would be easy to wear.
Well, you shouldn't call it a Christmas tree because you've got Christ in it.
Did anyone see the Bill O'Reilly program where he was saying that you're having a war on Christmas, of course, he was talking about. And I cannot remember the name of the person that he was talking with who was arguing that it's the Christians that are pushing their religion on everyone else. And Bill O'Reilly says that Christianity is not a religion. It's a philosophy.
Really?
You have to deal with what we would call denominations to talk about religions.
That's convenient for him. Huh? That's convenient for him.
Yeah. Yeah. So a Christmas tree is not religious because Christianity is not a religion.
Oh, I think a lot of Christians would disagree with
him. I think so. But he's
well, even Christianity isn't monolithic in its views of things. I recall two or three popes ago, an edict was put out that Catholics should not have Christmas trees. It didn't last very long.
Because they're pagan?
Pagan in origin and not scriptural and so on and so forth.
Jesus never had a Christmas tree.
Exactly. My immediate thought was, I think that I shall never see a pope as lovely as a tree.
That would have been a good letter to the editor.
But yeah, and it's been pointed out repeatedly that the Put the Christ Back in Christmas movement is often promoted by Baptists, who were the ones originally responsible for trying to keep the Christ out of Christmas, and the Christmas celebrations in certain forms when it were considered way too out of control and bad.
And, too much fun.
Yeah, too much like Saturnalia, actually.
I just had an idea. For Christmas ritual for Alcoholics Anonymous.
Which is?
Escorting Rudolph to an AA meeting. Because where did he get his red
We were talking before the start of the program about the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints, that group, the prophet prohibited celebration of Christmas, and at one point even took all the toys away from children.
The Grinch.
We were talking before about presence in children and deciding in wanting to do something. One of the things that we pretty much within our family are pretty much all gifting to different groups and organizations. Like my niece in Vermont belongs to one where they knit hats and mittens and blankets and things for homeless kids in the area. And so that everybody has their own groups they like to give to, and they do it in names of the rest of the family rather than exchanging presents. And one of the things we did that has been kind of interesting, but is that through Heifer Project International, you can buy cats, sheep, goats. They're quite pricey. I mean, they're maybe $250. So we were giving people a third of a goat for present. Yeah. So people actually got for the Christmas present. You bought a share in a goat. Your Christmas present is a share in a goat going to, and I transferred pictures of the country, the animal in the country they were going to make my own cards to send them. But we gave chickens and rabbits and a goat and a sheep, and I can't remember what else we gave, but we gave a variety of things, which, it was kind of interesting. I think my son-in-law's family thought it was probably one of their humor points for Christmas when they found out about it, but they're like, you know what they gave? They were giving people a third of a goat for Christmas, and they're like, oh, okay. But it was fun. It's something that kids enjoy. They like the animals and the thought that they're giving some other kids in another country, giving their families bunnies or chickens or whatever, and they can understand. You can give a message of how that as a small industry helps, because they have a lot of information on what families have done with the animals and how in long term it has changed the family's economic situation in the community. They do the Heifer Project International does quite a good job of documenting how the animals actually help. And you can, so that's kind of a little bit more fun kid related project to do.
I don't want to bring a negative note to that issue, but I wonder how many of those communities, let's put it that way, where those animals are going, especially things like goats and cows, larger animals, have seriously overgrazed and overworked pastures that may not support the animals that people are sending them. Because of overpopulation, because the majority of those communities are in trouble because of overpopulation, but it isn't true entirely. Of course, in a lot of cases, it's natural disasters. You have a hurricane, big flood, or something.
I think they match the animals.
Kills a lot of the animals.
Yeah, they match
to the local needs, because I think they include water buffalo, and I don't think they send those into the Sahara, for example.
And in some of the communities like that, it's where they would send chickens or rabbits, and non-grazers. But it seems like, at least from their documentation, it seems like they're making fairly careful choices. Not only who gets them within the community, but that the animals are going to be very cared for too.
I'm assuming that in a lot of cases, they have people on the ground, as they say, in the field, and so they know exactly what the situation is.
One of my nephews spent a year in Tibet, and he was there on the receiving end, helping as the animals, the orientation of the animals coming in and how to care for the animals, and he's working with the community. I'm sorry, what?
Do animals have jet lag?
That's a good
I'm
point.
Sure they do.
Yeah. Look, the farmers always complain about how the cows have jet lag just from changing to daylight time.
My cows get all mixed up.
I don't know when to release their milk.
Any final wishes for a holiday wish list that you'd like to see changed?
Yeah, I want some presents for under my Christmas tree.
What?
I want a present under my Christmas tree.
gosh. Well, my Christmas shopping is all done.
That's Santa Claus.
That's Santa
Claus. When I approached two people about the holiday/Christmas tree in the Capitol, basically suggesting that I thought it would be more inclusive if you called it a holiday tree, then everybody could enjoy it as a holiday tree. One person, fairly nice individual, started ranting at me for 5 minutes about Freedom From Religion Foundation. And the second person, also a fairly decent individual, spent the rest of the bus ride home telling me every single thing her church was doing for Christmas. You know, if this is supposed to be a time of goodwill towards men, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I honestly just wish that everybody would enjoy all of the holidays and not just be a bunch of picky nitwits. There we go. How's that?
They gave you a real challenge to put on your holiday good feelings.
Yeah, I'm the Grinch.
A real challenge. It is
wonderful. Well, with that, I guess we'll call it a program. Thank you.